And welcome back to this Christ and I podcast. Suppose Vicky's not doing this anymore. She's got too much work to do. But someone quite exciting to introduce you all to today. So this is Emma. Say hello, Emma.
Hello.
So Emma is our new, well, I'm saying that. I'll let Emma, suppose, you know, introduce herself to say who she is, what she's doing, what she enjoys doing on a Wednesday evening. Tell us about yourself.
So I'm Emma. So I'm the new Program and Development Officer. So I started full-time 3 weeks ago, but sort of part-time like 6 weeks ago, kind of seeing a kind of one day as I was like working out my notice. So I've just finished university. I graduated there in September. So I did my undergraduate degree is in history. So I did that at the University of Ulster. And then I did my master's degree then, which is in Culture, Heritage and Museum Studies. Bit random, but
what does that entail? It's just a bit random. I'm just interested to actually know what that actually means.
My master's,
yeah. what does it mean?
The degree or what I did in the degree?
Both. We'll go with both.
So master's degree is what you do after a postgraduate degree.
Yeah.
So I did my undergraduate, then my postgraduate.
Yep.
And my master's degree was all about culture, heritage, museum studies. So it was all about the local heritage and museums and how that kind of translates into museums and. How to make exhibitions, how to write exhibition text, all that kind of stuff, just around museums and stuff. So that's kind of my academic life.
Okay.
And then my, I don't know, I guess personal life's a lot more voluntary based, a lot more activity based. I'm a Girl Guide leader currently, so
fantastic.
I do the Brownies.
Okay.
I have been the last couple of years. Before that, I was a BB leader. So I started in the BB when I was 13.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, I wouldn't say a leader. I was a helper in the BB.
Yeah.
Because I was doing my bronze duke of Ed and you had to do 3 months volunteering.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
So my mum's friends was a leader at a BB. And so she was asked if I wanted to come along and I could do the volunteering through them. So I started that when I was 13 and just stayed. I did my 3 months and then kept going. So I was there till I was 18. And then I did my leadership training for the BB. And then our unit closed, unfortunately, because we lacked numbers and boys and leaders and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then I went off to university, so I never really got back into it until I started doing Girl Guide. And then it was a couple of years later because I couldn't really find the time to...
Yeah.
I was based in Coleraine at the University of Ulster.
Fair enough,
and I live in Bangor in County Down. So I couldn't find the time to travel and commit to something.
Yeah.
But then by the time I got into it for a couple of years, I kind of had the time. So I got back into it then, so yeah.
Exciting. So, as most of you probably know, we always start our podcast if we have someone on with a few would you rathers.
Okay.
Vicky always did enjoy them, but always find really weird ones, to be honest.
Joyce.
Yeah. Okay, so I've got a few here. So, would you rather labour under a hot sun or extreme cold?
Extreme cold.
Why?
Because I can't do heat.
Oh, that's fair
I love enough. Heat. I love a warm holiday, but I find it really difficult to do anything.
Do you
know what I mean? It's like I like to go in the heat to lounge about and do nothing.
Yeah.
And I can't sleep when it's too warm.
Okay,
so I can't work in the warm. So
I suppose as well, it's nice that if I say extreme cold, you might warm up.
You'd warm up.
You might.
But it's very hard to cool down if you're doing stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So. Okay. Exciting. I'm not going to ask this one. Would you rather lounge by... Oh, okay. No, I will. Would you rather lounge by the pool or on the beach?
Pool.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I don't really. I like the sea,
but
I hate getting out of the sea and then your feet get sandy and then the sand sticks in your toes and it's all really
everywhere.
Weird. It gets everywhere.
Have a sock in a bag that's had a bit of sand on it and that bag will have sand in it for the rest of its life.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's like the minute you travel into your car, it just never leaves.
There always.
No, never leaves.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay, so I'll give you a couple more. Let's see. Some of them are very weird. let's see. Would you rather have a pause or a rewind button in your life?
Ooh. Pause, maybe?
Any reason why?
No, I don't know.
Put you on the spot?
Don't know. Just out of the two, I think I'd rather... I don't know, because if you pause it, could you think about what you're going to do next?
Yeah.
Whereas if you're rewinding... Can you rewind and repeat, or are you just rewinding and redoing exactly what you've done?
I can just rewind and do exactly what you've done.
See, then I'd rather pause and think about it.
See,
so I don't have to regret my decisions.
I don't know. I really like the idea of being able to pause and decide, will I go do something?
Yeah.
But I know there's been lots of concerts I've been to.
Oh, yeah, relive them.
Exactly.
Yeah. See?
So I just don't know.
I don't know either.
Okay, final one. I know exactly what my answer will be for this one. The way things currently are, you can tell this is written by someone American. Would you rather always have a full phone battery?
Right.
Or a full gas tank?
Oh, full gas tank.
Yeah. I was like, with how much petrol costs at the minute?
How much petrol is right now?
I can afford to charge my phone whenever. Uh-huh. I can't afford to put petrol in my car.
No. I went from working a part-time job around the corner to working this job, which is a bit further from my home.
Yeah.
So my petrol bill has tripled since I started this job, which I knew was coming anyway, but I didn't think it would be that much.
Do you think we will hit £2 a litre soon? I think we will.
I don't know. There's all the talk about the fact that the oil's come down at the...
Has it?
Yeah, apparently. The guys who buy the oil, I don't know their name, apparently said it's coming down price per barrel, which means that should be hitting the pumps soon.
I doubt that.
But I doubt it.
I bought a new car today.
It'll be easily over £2 a litre.
Well, I bought a new car yesterday and I was chatting to the guy. I know, yes. And I was chatting to the guy and I was like, think it'll be over £2. He went, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I just don't... The way it's going, like, I remember when I first started to drive and I was like, you know, like... 99p a litre.
Yeah, it was so cheap.
And I know if I talked to mum and dad about it, they were like, oh, we remember it was even cheaper than that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's too expensive now, in my opinion.
I know it is. I remember when I was first learning, I've been driving now about six years. So when I first learned, it was around 99p. And it kind of like slowly went up and it kind of, I think it maybe stopped around like 120, 130.
Yeah, and then...
And you were like, oh, it's so expensive. But then... And now you're sitting going, oh, what I wouldn't give for 130 petrol.
I'm like, literally.
What I give for 160 petrol. Do you want this rate of going?
I know. Okay, fantastic. So that's just a bit of a fun thing as well. One thing we always try to do, just, I say, lighten the mood.
Lighten
the mood. So you've been here, you said 3 weeks full time.
Yeah.
6 weeks kind of all together. So how has that been and how have you settled in with that?
Yeah, no, it's been really good. I've really enjoyed it. Everybody's so nice and it's such a nice place to come to, like a nice place to work in, actually. I was so nervous about coming the first day because I was so afraid it was going to be like a really big place.
No.
It was going to be lots of people.
No.
And I was going to be like, I'm not going to know anybody's names or what's going on. But actually, it was so lovely coming in.
There's seven of us.
It's lovely, but it's actually lovely coming in because I'd went from working this and I worked in a shop part-time. I had since I was 17. So I went from a place where there was 12 staff.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was so afraid to enter the big wild world of work and there's going to be like 100 people and I was going to know nobody's names or what to do. But it's been so lovely. And because it's such a smaller team, I think it's easier to ask for help. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It doesn't feel so like pressured and you're not really left on your own. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, if you need like IT support, you got to go talk to that guy like six rooms down. Do you know what I mean? It's very much everybody's there to help and it was just lovely. And that's been so nice because I was so afraid of not, from being so settled in a job I'd had for years to moving somewhere else, I was so afraid that I'd lose that. Do you know what I mean? Which I have a wee bit, but I haven't, but I've gained so much more, which has been great, and so much learning and everything, because I had never really been involved in Scouts. I've done all the other organisations apparently, but I have not hit the Scouts.
It just sounds like Vicky to be honest, sitting across from me.
I know. So it was nice coming in and learning so much about it. And there's always so much to learn, which is great.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love learning, which is why I did so much university and further education.
I did not enjoy that. That's why I did my university degree and went,
one and done. Which, so that's why I love learning and love learning new things. And that's what this job is. There's so much constantly to learn and do. So it's great.
So suppose the 6 weeks you've been here, what is going to put you on the spot with this one? What has been the most enjoyable thing so far that you've actually done working for Scouts so far?
I think the thing I've enjoyed the most is sort of getting out and meeting leaders and meeting groups and sort of putting faces to names. And I've been working up in Portadown, First Market Hill Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
For the last couple of Mondays, kind of going up and giving them support to sort of get back up and running again.
Yeah.
And it's been great going up meeting their leaders, but also meeting their young people as well and getting more involved in the Scouts, which is something I have youth experience, but I haven't got Scout experience.
Yes.
So it's great actually going out and kind of getting that, you know, practical experience, which I don't have.
Yeah. I suppose that kind of leads on to the next one. So you weren't ever a Scout?
No, I wasn't.
But what other youth work experiences have you had? So, you know, you said you were a young leader in the BB until it was closed.
Yeah,
you're
a guide leader.
You're now running for the Scouts. Any sort of other youth work experiences have you had? Because I know there's people who do, like, so, you know, Camp America, that sort of anything exciting like that?
Unfortunately, I don't, because the year that I was going to go do Camp America was the 2020 COVID year.
Of course,
so the years that I've been sitting thinking about it, going, oh, maybe I'll look into that for next year. Was the COVID year.
Yep,
so, yeah. So yeah, everything kind of got flattened in 2020. So
yeah,
trying to tell me bumping that. But no, apart from, I said, the BB and the guides, I don't really have any other experience. And when I was young, I was a guide. I was a rainbow and a brownie.
Okay.
And then I went to guides for a wee bit. But then again, I was 12. And you know, when you're 12 and you're just a bit like, we won't do this anymore.
We've been a rebel. Don't want
and
to do
now
that.
You regret it now, because you'd wish you'd stayed and done all the things.
Yeah.
So it's something that I wish I'd done more of. But
fantastic.
Didn't at the time, so I think I just went in from a leadership sort of standpoint from about the age of 13, 14.
Isn't a bad thing either.
No, it's not.
I know my own leader or in my own group, when he was in Explorers, he was the only one in Explorers. So they were like, you're pretty much a leader now. You're not a leader, but you are.
But you are. You're going to do it.
You're like, you'll be treated as a leader, but you'll still be a young person. Because they were like, you're here by yourself. We're not going to make you do a program by yourself.
Yeah.
So I think it's sometimes it works well. I think that
it does, and it's nice seeing the, like, I always find I love seeing like the other side.
Yeah.
And sort of all the effort that goes in, like whenever you were little, you kind of showed up, and you were like, the leaders were like, oh, we're doing this, that, and the other, and it was great, and it seemed so easy.
Yeah.
But it's actually so much work that kind of goes into especially like planning the program, especially at camps. Yeah. Like I know that as well, because I'm a district commissioner for my area, Northanger, for the Girl Guiding.
Okay.
And the amount of risk assessments,
and
access night checks, and all this stuff that you didn't know went on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Or like you did it because you had to do it, but you didn't realize how many that person had to do.
You just thought, okay, just do that, as you know, that's just, you deserve the volunteer. You're like, wow.
Exactly. And that's because you're already a volunteer, and you know, it's a lot of work to take on. But again, I love that because it's great, because it means I get to go out and I get to meet leaders, and I get to be more active, and I get to have a bit more of a say in things that are going on, and I think it's great. So it's I think that's why I like all the youth sort of work that I do.
Fantastic. So back to your role as a program development officer, Scouts and I. So what does the role entail? What do you do on a day-to-day basis, we'll go with? What do you do?
I think, well, what I do at the minute is a lot of learning. A lot of learning about background about the Scouts, and learning Compass and all the different systems and, you know, all that joys.
Learning Compass. I don't think anyone wants to learn Compass, to be honest.
But I think the biggest part of my role is I'm here to help and to assist units and leaders, and to help them to develop their programs and help them to develop their units. And if they're struggling, you know, to give them sort of help and guidance and support when they need it. I think that's sort of my biggest role.
Yeah.
So it is.
That kind of leads in the next question as well. How can you support volunteers in scouting? I know, like, some, you know, we have all our ADCs, ACCs, district commissioners, county commissioners, NICs, but at the same time, they all have jobs.
Yeah.
And then it's down to us as, you know, people who work for Scouts. Well, I know my own group, my own Scouts always say to me, like, you're not paid to be here. I'm like, I'm not paid to be here. I'm here as a volunteer. I'm here. I don't get paid to be here. And they're like, yeah, you do. I'm like, I don't get paid to be here. And so how can you support volunteers in scouting when a lot of people sometimes don't have the time for it? I have the same job as Emma.
Yeah.
So,
I think that's the biggest thing that I find with working here. It's that, you know, you're emailing volunteers and leaders, and you're like, I'll email them and they'll get back to me. But it might be a couple of days before they get back to you, because they do have jobs and they have lives and other things to do. And that's been something else that I've had to sort of work around as well, that sometimes I'm going to have to work, which I don't mind, like work on the weekends or entering emails in the evenings, because that's the best time that suits them.
Yeah.
So I think the best way I can support people, one of the ways, is by being flexible and sort of trying to work towards their timetable.
Totally.
And not a 9-to-5. Do you know what I mean? That you work a 9-to-5 and then you do this in your off time.
Yeah.
So because you're giving up your time to do that, then I should be there to support you when you need that as well.
Which I think some volunteers and some parents of volunteers, parents in like scout groups and all uniformed organization groups don't understand sometimes. You know, they see my own group to see us down a Friday night and think, oh, that's what they do. And you're like, we're volunteers.
Yeah.
It's more than a Friday night. Yeah. It's, you know, planning, it's meetings, it's AGMs. It's, there's a lot more than just being a volunteer one day a week from 7:30 to 10 o'clock and going home and doing it again the next week.
No, it is. It's almost like a little part-time job on top of the job you already do, which is something that I never realized until I sort of started doing. Obviously, I'm a guide leader, but we were kind of just, you know, there's another kind of woman who kind of ran it, and she was stepping back a wee bit, so we were helping her more. So the more work we were putting into that, then plus taking on then the district commissioner role, it sort of turned into sort of like a, this wee weird part-time job that you weren't getting paid but still had to be done, and in some ways was more important than your part-time job because things were more time sensitive and had to be done. So it was, it's weird trying to find that balance of doing it all and making sure it's all done well. So I think so I think actually the fact that I know that sort of helps me a lot in this role, that I know sort of the best, not maybe not the best times to email people out, but you know, sort of the have realistic expectations about when people are going to reply, when they're not going to reply, how much to push, do you know what I mean? Because, you know, you don't want 100 emails, but you need a couple to sort of get the ball rolling or whatever it is. So definitely,
Fantastic. So what are you looking forward to in the role? I know there's, I know when we chatted to Vicky, when I chatted to Vicky, when was it? September last year, one of the things she's really excited about was going places and really wants to go to South Korea for the World Cup Jamboree. We're like, that will not happen. Then she wants to go to Gdansk in 2027 for the World Cup Jamboree. And I'm like, well, you need to be here for that and not be in another uniformed organization at that point. She laughed at and didn't say anything else. So what are you looking forward to? Like, but say for the night between now and this time next year, what are you excited for in scouting, whether that's going in camp, meeting new people, meeting new groups, whatever. It can be a number of things, can't just be one thing.
I think it's a bit of everything. I think it is. It's getting out and meeting people, meeting leaders, learning more about the organisation, which is something that's an organisation that I greatly admire but don't know a lot about. So getting to know it better, how it works, will be great as well. And maybe even getting to camps, because it's not something that I do with my girls, because I do not trust my girls to go to camp.
Any reason why?
They're too little.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
I know them. I know them too well that they're big talk, but I know that's I would be the one at 11 o'clock that night being like, I want to go home. So yes, getting out and experience camps and doing more of that kind of stuff. But I think it's just getting out and meeting people. And I think that's one of the biggest things that attracted me towards this job, was not only was it help, you know, helping a program role within a youth organization, but it was also, you know, getting out and meeting people and seeing things and doing things, which is something I always wanted, was not just a 9-to-5 office job, something that was a bit more practical as well, I think this ticks all the boxes, so it does.
Perfect. So we're going to be finishing on very soon here. In the next couple of months, what do you want to see from scouting in Northern Ireland? Kind of the same as the last question, but kind of not in the same way. What do you want to see? So I know for the likes of me, coming up this summer, it'll be very difficult to do most things in the summer because everyone's like,
everybody shuts off.
Chill down mode. I'm like, that's chill mode for me as well. I'm like, And there's not as much happening, but I suppose what are you looking forward to even for September starting back? What's the one thing you want to set yourself to do in September for scouts in Northern Ireland? Is there, you know, start up a new group, which probably will be difficult to do in the next 2 weeks, but like the one thing you really love to be able to do between now and September that you want to be like, okay, I can have this ready to go and just go by September. Is there one thing? There might not be.
I can't think of anything, to be honest. I think the biggest thing I want to see anyway is, you know, all groups back up running face-to-face, which I know is a lot of groups are, even though we're a year back to face-to-face, I know it's still a thing a lot of groups are still struggling with, sort of getting that momentum back, you know, that we lost so suddenly. So I think being able to maybe turn around in September and going like 90% or more back face-to-face would be amazing. So it would be. But as to actual activities or stuff like that, I've nothing planned at the minute or nothing in my head, but I'm hoping to get some stuff sorted.
I think that's one thing I've loved because I'm a scout leader myself. We ran from last January on Zoom. Pretty much we have not been off really since then. We ran over summer. We're like, we've missed out for so much. Let's just run over summer. It's nice nights. We might as well. And like, in April was it, I think, when we got from, we did a traffic light system or red, amber, green. When we went to green over here, I was like, thank goodness. I'm like, we can actually plan to go on a camp. We can actually do something. Well, we could do something, but it was always very much, you know, wear your mask, do this. And coming up this summer, we're like, we'll be outside. We won't need to wear them. But when I went to green, I was like, this is fantastic. I just love this. There's that freedom of you can't do what you want.
No, but we're getting there.
The lot more freedom of, I know if I want to do this with the group, we can. We're going camping in August at Crawford for it. I'm like, it's some of our scouts probably maybe first time ever camping. Because it's been nearly 3 years. Some of them last time they camped were in Cubs. Some of them last time they camped maybe in Beavers, depending on their age. And that's the thing. I'm like, you know, it's a big jump where that, you know, they've missed so long.
No, they have. It's been awful for them all. Like, I know that for, like, for my girls that, you know, I had some when we were there. So that was, what, September 2019 when we had, you know, we had new girls joining.
Yeah.
And then, you know, cut off then in March. And then we were kind of on Zoom, kind of not on Zoom, kind of outside, kind of not outside. That when we finally got back into the hall, like in September 2021, those girls, which only just started with us, were in their last year. And it was awful because there was so much we wanted to do with them and so much they should have experienced before they got to the fact that this is your last year.
Yeah.
Like, we should have had, you know, like, you know, activity days at Lorne and you know, different guiding events we could have taken them to, but because we couldn't do any of that kind of stuff. So that's what I also, I guess in a way, is what I also don't want to see groups do. And I want to make sure that all groups get those experiences because it's something that I know that, you know, my girls missed out on so much. And, you know, we said, we had our last week and we said goodbye to four of them who had really only had that year with us. And it was awful. It's like, okay, you're going on to guides now.
Bye.
But you've done none of the stuff you need to do to get ready for guides because we can't fit it all into one year.
Yeah.
So it's been awful for that. So I think the more we get back up face to face, the more we prepare our young people for moving up and developing the skills that they need to carry themselves through life.
I suppose that kind of helping ourselves with our scout group. So, well, a few of our leaders aren't very good with names anyway. So they don't know their names. But one of our scouts, when we went on Zoom, appeared and we were like, who's that? And he started to speak. We're like, oh, his voice has dropped since the last time we've seen him. And we're like, most of them had changed. We're like, the oldest are gold now. I'm like, you weren't old last time we seen you. He's like, you weren't. Some of them had just moved up to scouts. And we're like, you could have gone to explore. So I'm like, this is weird.
It's really weird. That's what I'm saying. It's like in some ways, like, we paused, but we didn't pause because everybody kept growing up.
You didn't have a choice. It was, we may have paused, but you said, their
they
life
didn't pause. No,
they
exactly.
just kept going.
And I know for my girls, when they came back in September 2021, it was a couple of them I looked at and I was like, I don't know you. And I was like, I do know you. You were here with us before we stopped. And it was like, oh my goodness, you've gotten like so tall and you've gotten, do you know what I mean? It's like, oh God, you're in like P6 now. Do you know
it's,
what's
it's the height's
on?
A funny one, but it's one
height
of our scouts.
So
it's the one who we didn't recognize. Came in, one of our leaders, Peter, just looked at him and went, you're taller than me now. Peter's not very tall, to be honest. he is tall, but he's not that tall. But the scout Lucas is nearly the same height as me, and I'm 6'2" or 6'3". I'm like,
oh, flip.
I'm like, flip me. It's just funny that, you know, just that being that, you know, nearly 3-ish years. I know when we finished in 2020, we were taking a week off because Easter was really early in 2020. We were taking a week off. We're like, one of our leaders getting married. We're like, we won't be on next week. We'll be back. Please come back after that. Thinking, you know, could we, we're all like, you know, COVID and all that. We should be back. And then we're like, oh, okay, we're not then. We're like, well, this'll be fun.
We'll go on Zoom.
And thankfully that I know when I was chatting to Michael Morrison a few months ago, you know, we said actually after coming back, our numbers grew more than they did.
Yeah.
A lot more. Like, we're sitting more than 30 in the books for scouts at the minute.
Yeah.
Which we're like, you know, we would never, ever have that many in scouts.
No.
And I think it's always been talked about, you know, there's that need.
Yeah.
Especially at the minute.
Yeah, there's
the need for stuff, whether it's, you know, with BB, GB, guides, scouts,
definitely.
Anything. There's just the need to be out doing things because people want to be out doing the stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we took our scouts, we walked from our church hall up to Arden Valley here, and we had 30 of them or so walking up
that's
in two different groups. So, like, we kind of 30 walking down the towpath one go,
not
at all.
Together.
Some will end up in the water.
Yeah.
I think the game, like, you know, that actually was really nice, just being out and just being able to have those conversations with them as well. It's, I'm like, it's not anything stressful having to go for a walk,
but
it was it was just nice.
I think it's what everybody missed, I think, because when we got, and I know we didn't get sort of trapped inside as such, but you did, we lost those connections that maybe you might have had to the outside and doing different things, and maybe you didn't belong to those groups, but maybe you did some of those activities in school, or you did them, you know, with your mom and dad or whatever it was, or your guardians or whatever it was. But because you couldn't do those anymore, I think such a lack of it that whenever we started, all the groups started back up again, people who had maybe taken them for granted before were like, no, we actually, these are so important. We need to get into them. I think that's why all the groups have had such an increase in numbers, which is great to see, because people have actually finally realized maybe that we shouldn't take these groups for granted and we should use them, because stuff like that, you know, we came out of it but might not have came out of it. Do you know what I mean? So it's not everybody did, so
perfect,
something we can't take for granted.
Thank you very much for joining us today. So we will, our next one, we were having Stephen Donaldson on the podcast, very
lovely.
Exciting, We had to hear all about Stephen. If you don't know who Stephen is, he is our chief commissioner. He is our chief and commander. He is our boss. I got told off and said that last time, but Vicky told me off for calling Jonathan our chief and commander. She's not here to tell me off this time, so I can say what I want. So we'll have Stephen Donaldson on, and hopefully then we'll be having our union leaders from our World Scout Jamboree on as well to hear a bit more about what they're doing, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, definitely. It's a really exciting time.
That'll probably be two podcasts in one, because I'm like, kind of four people in one go. That's a lot of people. And I had a lot of people meeting, not have enough microphones. But thank you very much for joining us today, and we'll see you all soon.